if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. I was reading an illustration about a preacher. His name is Sam Morrison. He was a preacher and he was a missionary, and he'd been over to Africa and spent 25 of his years of his life preaching the gospel. He'd been over there working, trying to win those in Africa to the Lord, and on the way back on the ship that he came back on, after serving that time, Teddy Roosevelt, the president, was there. He'd been over there hunting for 3 weeks, killing game. He says they come and they begin to enter into the dock. They had bands playing, they had cheering and all this for the president, Teddy Roosevelt. And as he got off the ship, they were shouting, carrying on, and Samuel Morrison said he got off the ship and no one noticed, and no one was there, no one said a word after 25 years of hard service of his life. Said it got him really depressed, said he went home and he got thinking, this guy was over there killing animals for 3 weeks and got all this applause, all this big parade when he got home. And I'd been over there for 25 years giving my life, sacrificing, and no one was even at the boat dock to welcome me home. And he said, I was in my room praying to God and said, God spoke to my heart and he said these words, you're not home yet. He said, then I realized that I wasn't home yet. Tonight, I want to look. This morning, we touched a little bit about heaven. Brother Jr. was talking to me after church about these kinfolks of his that's lost some babies. I made mention that I'm not sure exactly how we'll be portrayed. I just know that we'll be like Jesus. We'll not be angels. We'll be like Jesus. When we see him, we should be like him. And I said, you know, I don't know, but from what I gather just from my thoughts, we would be like we are when we pass here, but with much more perfect bodies. I'm not sure how that will work, and I don't even know for a fact that that will work. Just know that when people showed up that had died and was recognized, they were recognizing the older form, not the baby or young. One time I went to North Carolina to a preaching conference, and there's this guy by the name of Peter Ruckman. He got started this doctrine that everybody would be 33 years old and a male, even women would be males in heaven. And everybody got up there, made some kind of comment toward that, like that was going to happen. And I told one of the preachers there that I knew better, and I said, listen, you know that ain't going to be true. And I said, Bible teaches no such thing as that. But anyway, I want us to look, and I want us to think about going home, those who are saved. I'll share with you another little illustration, my personal. I'll tell on myself with Mom sitting here, but maybe I'm old enough she won't spank me now. I got by with it back then. But I was probably about 13, 14 years old, and we lived at a place called Burning Springs. And I was out late at night, and they'd had someone around the neighborhood breaking into houses. And it was dark and late, and I shouldn't have been out, but I was. And walking from where I was at all the way home, of course, back then I walked everywhere I went, just about it. And it was nothing to walk a mile or two or three. Didn't think nothing about that. And so I had to walk a pretty good distance to get where I had to go. And there was only one street light. And you had to walk for a ways. And, And I was thinking as I left that place, I was thinking about that guy who'd been breaking in houses and doing damage to people. And I heard footsteps behind me in the dark. I didn't have any light, couldn't see. Young boy, I got listening to the footsteps and they kept getting closer to me. And I got going a little faster and they got going a little faster. I got running, they got running. And I thought, well, he's after me. He's going to catch me. And I was running, and I was running as hard as I could run. And it seemed like the footsteps was keeping up with me. And I finally got to that street light. And when I went under the street light, I turned to see who was chasing me. And I mean, I was scared, out of breath, and been running for a mile or two. And looked, and it was a dog. I ain't going to tell you what I did, but anyway, I'm going to stop there. But I was thinking if I can just make it home, I'll be safe.
Not if your dad had done
you that. Yeah, if my dad had knew I'd snuck out, I wouldn't have been safe when I got home. That would have been the last place, but I may have been going back looking for the dog again. I don't know. But anyway, open your Bibles. Let's begin reading, if you would. To put this time and place in perspective, jump up in chapter 20 and read the last two verses, chapter 20. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. Brother Cliff, I want to, I meant Brother Cliff, I had him on my mind. Brother Greg, I want you to know I appreciate you putting sermons out on the air. I got contacted a few weeks ago about the sermon on the book of life. Someone had tried to do a search of book of life and find out some information, and they said that mine was the only sermon that they could find that had any depth to it at all, and said it was the most complete sermon they'd ever seen with the book of life. And they were commenting about it, and I said, we've got a man in church that puts them on, and I appreciate him taking time to do that, and I want you to know that. I said that also to say this, the book of life is very important. There's a lot of false ideas. We could have included that this morning. A lot of people, and I had, until I studied it out, I had a lot of ideas about what the book of life was, and it wasn't that at all when I studied it out. And so what I want you to understand is the book of life is important. In the book of Revelation, you find it all the way through the book. But let's read on. And he says, and I saw a new heaven, new earth. Now notice, it was after everybody was cast in the lake of fire. This is after the great white throne judgment. There will be no more lost people after this point. The lost people are dead, judged in hell, never come out again. And I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven, first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as a breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. In our measurement, from what I understand, that would be about 1,500 miles. So it's going to be a city that's going to have a cube size of 1,500 miles. Now, how far is it all the way across the United States? Anybody know? Anybody know the mileage all the way across the United States? Isn't it 3,000-something miles?
I know, I think from here to Washington, 1,500 miles.
Okay. Well, take that, for instance, that would be a good distance from here to Washington, D.C., would be 1,500 miles. So think about that, a cube, that long, that wide, that high. That would be how the city would be built. Now, notice as well, the Bible says, in verse number 17, he measured a wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardonyx. I guess is how you pronounce it. And the sixth sardis, and the seventh crystallite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth crystallophorus, the 11th jaspis, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. Now I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now notice and remember, I told you that everywhere else where the book of life is mentioned, they are both saved and those who are alive that has the potential of being saved. But in this one here, only those who are saved is left in the Lamb's book of life. That's why it's referred to as the Lamb's book of life, because everyone in it at that point in time is saved. And they've made it through, and the great white throne judgment has been enacted. Everybody's been cast into hell that will be cast into hell at this point. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, I read a little bit more than I'm going to preach on, but I read it because I want you to kind of get a vision about heaven. Heaven, if you're saved, is your home. That is a place where we're going. That is a place where we will end up if you're saved. It's so important to be saved and to know that you're going. I want to share with you the thought that we're not home yet, but when we get home, there'll be some things that will not follow us and cannot follow us home. I was thinking about that little dog following me home, having me scared, frightened. We're going home, and there's some things that scares us now that will not be able to follow us home. Look back in your Bible, and I want to share a few of those with you. Look back in verse number 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Death scares us. We worry about it sometimes. We worry when we find something about what we're going to find out when we go to a doctor sometimes. Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm ready to go," and that's good. It's good to have that confidence. But death is always something that haunts us here. But death can't follow us where we're going. When we get home, there'll be no more death. We won't have to worry about that. We won't have to mess with death no more. No more funerals. No more tears of seeing loved ones go on. No more tears of those who have gone that's not saved. Our tears will be gone then. As a matter of fact, in chapter 22 and verse, or chapter 21, verse 1 or 4, God shall wipe away all tears. Our tears will be gone. We'll not have them. They're not going to follow us home anymore. Not only that, but also he says, and by the way, in this life, we all have sorrow. About every one of us has had sorrow of our heart, sorrow of our mind, sorrow of our body. We've had issues in all areas that pains us greatly. The Bible does not hide the fact that in this world in which we are pilgrims and strangers, we're all going to suffer tribulations. We're all going to suffer sorrows. There's going to be pain because the curse of sin will be here. Somebody said, "Well, I sure hope I get to a place in my life where I'm finished with my problems." You'll not get that until you get home. Troubles can't follow us home. When we get home, no more troubles, no more sorrows, no more tribulations. They got to stop at the door and they leave us. Not only that, but notice the Bible says in verse 4, "Not neither death nor sorrow nor crying." The word crying here goes deeper than just tears. It means crying out. How many times have we cried out in pain? From hurt, hurt of the body, hurt of the heart, hurt of the mind. No more. It's not going to follow us home. No bad news. Nothing else to fear. Nothing else to dread. When we get home, it can't come with us. We leave it. Not only that, but notice as well, neither shall there be any more what? Verse 4, after crying, no more pain. It can't go home with us, folks. It's got to stay here. Amen. When we get home, never another pain. Somebody said, "Nobody knows how I hurt." God does. But we're going to have hurts here. The writer of Ecclesiastes revealed to us and told us, "Listen, got news for you. Your body's going to get old. And with it comes aches and pains and changes. It's going to get where the days are not fun anymore as they were in your youth, because you're going to have pains each and every day. But it ain't going to go home with us. If you're going home to heaven, it can't go home with you." Not only that, but notice as well, the Bible says, for the former things are passed away. Also, Satan can't follow us home. No more devil. If you look back in chapter 20 and verse number 10, he's taken. He's cast in the lake of fire. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He is taken, he's cast in the lake of fire, and he will be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. That is his destiny. Where we're going, folks, we're going home. We're never going to see the old accuser of the brethren that the Bible speaks about in Revelation. He accuses us all the time before God. In the book of Job, he talks about the accusing us all the time. We're never going to know, as Peter says, our adversary anymore. He's our enemy. He hates us. He does everything he can. And if it was up to him, he'd destroy every one of us. He'd try. If it wasn't for, when we get to heaven, by the way, can I say this? When we get to heaven, we're going to understand there was angels around us at times we didn't even know angels was there. There was protection from God that they were ministering unto the heirs of salvation, and we didn't even know that they were there. And the devil had his old demons coming after us, wanting to trip us up, and God kept them from ever bothering us. We won't know it here, but we'll know it when we get home. But listen, the old adversary can't go with us. The old devil, he won't be there. The God of this world no longer is in control. He's going to be screaming in pain and agony, crying out throughout eternity in the pits of hell. That old murderer that wanted to destroy won't be after us. That old ruler of darkness, the wicked one, can't go with us. When we get to heaven, when we were saved, the moment we were saved from the penalty of sin. As we walk through this life, we've been saved from the power of sin. There's not a sin that we face that we can't overcome if we want to. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, I've got this in my life and I just can't overcome it. We can. If you're saved, God's given you the power to overcome any sin that you want to come, that you'll want to overcome. But you have to want to overcome bad enough. But when we get to heaven, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Nothing that defiles will enter there. And so sin can't follow us home either. Can you imagine what it'd be like to get to a place? Every one of us has flesh. You know the thing that I hate most about this life? I disappoint myself more than anybody else. Somebody said, well, so-and-so does this, so-and-so done this. I said, yeah, they probably did. But you know, whenever I look in the mirror and I see myself, I disappoint myself greatly. It's hard to kind of point your finger at somebody else when you kind of see yourself for what it is. But when I get there, this old flesh isn't coming home with me. It can't follow me home. It's got to stay behind. And I'll be given a glorified body, one that will never know the presence of sin. Never have a temptation. Never have an issue in my life again. I'll never know the burden of what sin brings. I'll never know the pain. I'll never know the agony of where sin is. I'll never know the heaviness. I will feel light as air. I do not know what I will be like, but all I know is when Jesus appears, I will be like him. And when I am, I will have the ability, you know, sometimes because of our flesh, sometimes because of things in our life, we can't glorify God. We can't do things like we want to do things. There we'll be free as birds. There'll be no weight upon us. You know, the Bible in Hebrews talks about this weight of the sin that so easily besets us, that pulls us down, slows us down. There we'll be free. When he says sing, we will sing. Amen. With no hesitation, because we have not one blotch of guilt in our life. All we'll do is truly praise the Heavenly Father, because sin cannot follow us home. I'm so glad that we will not have to deal with that. And last but not least, And this is the saddest of all. I want you to listen. If you're here and you're a sinner, you cannot follow me home. The Bible lists several in verse number 8 of chapter 21 that won't be there. The unbeliever, means one that has not believed upon Jesus with their heart. It means one that has not trusted God for their salvation. If you're here and you're not saved, and Jesus comes back, or you die in your sins, you can't follow me home. You'll never know what heaven's like. The Bible says that we can only imagine the half of what God hath prepared for us. Here he describes a city that is beyond our ability to understand. Every stone is as much as I messed some of them up. Every stone, every gold, everything was clear as crystal. Did you notice that? It's because when Jesus shines, he will shine. We will have the city, and there will be nations down on the earth. That's nations that come through Jesus' kingdom, and they will reign on the earth. And they'll come up, show up his glory, and we'll be up there in that city as prepared for his bride. And forever, they'll come up and they'll get leaves off the tree of life for their healing. But not us. We'll know nothing of that sort, because we will be in our glorified bodies when we get home. That place, heaven, is our home. And by the way, let me say this in closing. Many times I hear it at funerals. Well, blessed old sweet so-and-so, they're walking streets of gold. Not true. Their soul is in the presence of Jesus if they're saved. Their soul is waiting the resurrection. Their soul is waiting the completion of God's plan. And then when his plan is done with the rapture, with the tribulation, with the coming again of Jesus, with the establishing of his kingdom, with the reigning for 1,000 years, with Satan coming, with Gog and Magog to destroy the camp of the saints, and Satan being cast in lake of fire forever and ever and ever, the great white throne judgment and all the lost people being brought out of hell, standing, going through the judgment. After all that is done, then there will be a new heaven and new earth. And we will descend down in that new city. And we will be home at last. And when we reach home, none of those things I mentioned today can follow us there. I hope that that's your home. And I hope when we sing Heaven is Our Home, that we truly get a vision of what we're singing. And in this life, sometimes when we face the sadness and sorrow and pains, we'll recognize, as God told Samuel Morrison that night, you're not home yet. Wait till you get home. Amen. Let's stand this tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Heaven would not be your home. What a sad, sad thing it would be to miss the glories of heaven. Will you sing a song? I wouldn't miss heaven for anything in the world. Oh, what a sad thing it'd be to miss heaven. Amen. How about tonight? Would you come? Maybe it's God's deal in your heart, and we sing, Brother Porter.